Today we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit and evangelism. Acts chapter 8, we're going to be in verses 26 through 39. Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 39. And so last week we talked about the Holy Spirit and prayer. And what is the role of the Holy Spirit and prayer in our life? And we learned last week how the Holy Spirit helps us pray, intercedes for us when we don't know what to pray. And it also reminds us what are we supposed to be praying about. In context here, before we dive into the message here, in Acts chapter 8, verses 5 to 25, we see the evangelist Philip. Philip was in a mighty revival at Samaria. If you remember this, if you look here in your scriptures here, it says in Acts here, chapter 8, verses 9 through 24, it says that there was much joy in the city because of all the miracles that God was doing. People were coming to know Jesus. People were being healed. People being set free from physical ailments, spiritual sin and darkness. And it says, quote, there was much joy in the city. And Philip was there preaching. So picture yourself there. You're preaching. And man, God's doing a new work. People are coming to know Jesus. And man, things are going great. And so that is our background for the story here. But I want to talk to us about evangelism here for a quick second. How many of you, when you hear the word evangelism, oh, your mouth gets dry, your palms get sweaty. You're like, oh, I got to talk to somebody about Jesus that doesn't know. You're like, oh, Pastor Dan, let's just back away from that. Let's talk about joy and peace and love and marriage, something else, taxes. Talk about something else other than evangelism, all right? All right, when we say that word, we hear about that. Sometimes in our Christian walk, we think we get nervous and tense. How many of you have been out in the marketplace? You've been in your vocational workplace, or you've been in your neighborhood, and you felt like the Holy Spirit said, hey, you need to talk to this person about Jesus, and you got scared. How many of you have been there? And how many of you got scared, and you just backed up, and you didn't do that? I've been there. I'm guilty of that. And you felt, the Holy Spirit said, why didn't you trust me? Why didn't you have the boldness? We've all been there. But how many of you would say you felt that same nudging again, the Holy Spirit, and you did act upon it? You did tell somebody about Jesus. You prayed with him. And what happened? That person encountered Jesus, encountered the Spirit, and you realize, well, that wasn't so bad. What was I scared of? Why was I so nervous about that? And so today I want to talk about the Holy Spirit in evangelism and how God wants to use each one of you uniquely to evangelize, to go out and tell the good news about Jesus. Now, when we say evangelism, a lot of times in the church we think, well, Pastor Dan, are you going to give us an 8-week program and here's the script we have to memorize and go out and say, do you want to get know Jesus? Do you want, you know, we go out like a robot and just talk about stuff. No, this is about how the Holy Spirit wants to use your unique giftings and mindsets, and where God has placed you in your neighborhoods and your families and your jobs to reach the lost. This is what today is about. And before we read our scripture here, I want to show you a couple graphics here about what is right now the view in the church in America about evangelism. On the screen, I've got two surveys to show you here. This is the first one's by Barna Group. This came out in 2019, so it's 2 years old. But this they interviewed elders, the elder generation, the boomers, Gen X, and the millennials. And these were all self-disclosing, self-describing, hey, I'm a Christian, I go to church, and then they asked them these questions. So these are people that would say, hey, I believe in Jesus, I believe in the Holy Scriptures, and here's my thoughts. If you look across, I know it's a little small, but the top portion here, all the generations, you can see how everyone is almost in the same category. They believe that, you know, Jesus is real, they believe they should share the gospel, they believe that they should respond here when someone asks them about their faith. But when you get down here, I'm going to look at these bottom two rows. Look at these bottom two rows. If you look here with the elders and the boomers and the Gen X, these numbers are smaller. But you get over here to the millennials, which would be those born 1984 to about 2004. The first one they ask is, they said, is it wrong to share one's personal beliefs with someone of a different faith in hopes that they will one day share the same faith as you? And look at this. 47%, almost 50% said no. That's not right. What they're saying is, if Roxanne was a Buddhist, I shouldn't share Jesus in the hope that she would come to know Jesus, because that'd be wrong. But these are self-describing Christians. Think about that. And look at the older generations. I'm a Gen Xer, 27, then 19, then 20%. So it goes down, but even that's still alarming. But then look down here at this last one. It says, if someone disagrees with you, it means that they are judging you. 40% of the millennials said yes. If someone disagrees with you, then they're judging you. And we know in the young generations, man, you don't want to be judged. You don't want to cause anybody to think you're judging them or be judged. And what this ties into here is this whole mindset of if someone disagrees with you, they're judging you. Well, that would make you probably not want to share the gospel, because if Roxanne would push back against me, well, I don't want her to disagree with me. So I'm not going to even share my faith. I'm not going to share my faith if someone's going to disagree with me. You see where this is going with the enemy This is very interesting, but it's sad and dangerous. Let me go on here. Lifeway Research. Have you heard of Lifeway? They're also a Christian bookstore. This just came out. They did a big survey among specifically Protestant churchgoers, and we'd be in that line of Protestant churchgoers. And they asked this question: in the past 6 months, how many times did you share with someone how to become a Christian? And look at the answer. Over 55% said zero. Zero. And look at the 1 to 2, 24%. A quarter of a percent of this in this study, there was a pretty big study of Protestant churchgoers. And these were people that self-proclaimed, I believe in Jesus, I believe in Bible, I go to church, I'm all in. This is what they're self-disclosing. And secondly, they asked, about how often, if at all, do you personally pray for opportunities to tell others about Jesus Christ? And look at some of these percentages. Every day, 23%. But look at that at the bottom. Rarely or never, 27%. Think about that. Guys, that should break our hearts as a church. And in this survey, they didn't break it down to the generational numbers regarding Gen X or boomers or millennials. They just ask everybody. And look at this, 27%. And this is just in America. Church, this should break our hearts. And look at that, a few times a week, once a week, a few times a month, or once a month, 6%. This is very alarming. And so this is why today I want to talk to you and talk to us about the Holy Spirit and personal evangelism. Why are we called to go out and to reach the lost here? Turn with me here and to Acts 26, verses 39. Let's read here. It won't be on your screen, so turn in your scriptures or your Bible app, and let's read it here. And it says, "And now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Rise and go towards the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place.' And he rose and he went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasures. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go over and join this chariot.' So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, 'Do you understand what you are reading?' And he said, 'How can I unless someone guides me?' And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. And now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: 'Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth.' And the eunuch said to Philip, 'About whom, I ask you, does this prophet say this is about himself or someone else?' Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?' And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea." Let's pray, church. Father, in these next few moments, we ask that you would illuminate your scripture. God, may your scripture become alive in our hearts and our minds, and more importantly, on our lips to those that need the redeeming work of the gospel of Jesus. God, be with us today, and God, may we all be carriers of your word. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. So today's theme is this. It's that the Holy Spirit helps us in personal evangelism. You are not alone today. You don't have to go out in all your power. We go out in the power of the Spirit of the living God. And so that's our theme for today. The Holy Spirit helps us in personal evangelism. So I have a few points for us. First is this: hear and obey. Hear and obey. In verse 26, I want to highlight that hearing God's direction in personal evangelism. Look at verse 26 here. It says that now an angel of the Lord said to Philip. Wouldn't it be amazing if an angel of the Lord spoke to us and said, "Hey, go do this, go speak to this person"? But God wants to direct us in where we need to go. Now, I would call that the God thoughts, because the Holy Spirit says in John 14 that the Holy Spirit would remind us of the thoughts of God. And so I would say, hey, have you ever had a God thought? When you're walking by someone, you're like, man, I should talk to that person. And we think, well, is that just our conscience? You know, our conscience? Is it Jiminy Cricket up here? You know, the Disney little cricket telling us what to do? No, that's the Holy Spirit directing us. That's God, the Father, speaking to us, directing us to someone. And so God directs us in personal evangelism, just like he did Philip here. He spoke to Philip. And then in the verse 30, he says, and it says that the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. We have a God that's personal who directs us. When you talk to that random person at Hy-Vee or at the mall or at the fitness center in your neighborhood, it's not just some random, oh, the cosmos. No, it's God our Father has directed you through his Spirit to speak to you. Just like a missionary, Jenny, you're going to God. Jenny just didn't pick China because China was, ooh, it was interesting. The Spirit directed our missionary to go there, just like he directs you and I to go to places and speak to people. It takes spiritual discipline to be actively listening for the voice of God. You and I need to be spiritual discipline. We need to be spiritual discipliners that we are listening and attuning our ears to the voice of God in our life. I want to ask this, are you open to the voice of the Spirit in your life? Is God directing you? Or are you ignoring that, thinking, well, who, you know, I'm not smart enough. I can't talk this. I don't know enough of the Bible. Or we fill in a million excuses. But we must be disciplined to hearing the voice, and that when God speaks to us, he's speaking to us directly for a reason. And we can't ignore that, but we have to go on and listen to that. Secondly here, obeying, or I would say responding to God's direction in personal evangelism. Look at verse 27 through 29. It says, and he rose, Philip, he rose and he went. And then it says, he came and he ran up next to the chariot. I mean, first of all, Philip must have been in CrossFit condition to run like that next to a chariot. That's pretty cool. But he obeyed. Philip responded. How many of you heard God's voice in your life? We probably could all raise our hand. I've heard God speak to me, a voice of the Spirit, saying, hey, do this or that. But how many of you could say, I've listened every time and obeyed the Spirit? Man, my hand's going to have to go down on that one. Philip heard and he obeyed, and he ran to the chariot. Part of being spiritually disciplined is to obeying and responding to that direction in our life. And that revolves in personal evangelism. A couple weeks ago, I was at Planet Fitness, where a gym I belong to, and I was on the treadmill, and I told my wife this. Behind me, I heard a lady talking to this other lady, and she was pouring her heart out, going through some horrible marriage things. And I'm in front of her, and I can hear the things she's talking about. I'm like, I would not be saying that out loud at the gym. I'm like, and the lady's next to her trying to talk to her, and it could hear the lady, she's weeping, and she's like, I don't want to get a divorce, but I'm going to take the kids, but I may. And I'm just thinking, man, this is such a desperate, desolate place she's in. And I just heard I'm on my elliptical, and the Holy Spirit say, you need to pray for her. You need to introduce yourself, talk to her. I'm thinking, no, I need to finish my workout. I need to go home, get some of Ginger's good cooking for breakfast. No, Jesus, I'm not listening, la, 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 no. And the Holy Spirit say, speak to her, pray with her. She needs to know me. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, I got to finish my workout. You ever been there with people? I finished my workout. I turn around, and I'm like, man, this is going to be awkward. Some, you know, young guy, these ladies were older than me. I'm like, hi, I don't mean to make this awkward. I'm like, I heard what you were saying. Can I pray with you? I believe that Jesus can restore marriages. And I'm thinking, oh, gosh, she's going to, like, call for security. Am I going out in chains, arrested? I'm like, and she's running on a treadmill. She just starts weeping. And she stops. She goes, yes, please, I'm desperate. And her friend next to her, I think she was a believer. I could kind of tell you, and I think her friend was trying to work Jesus in over the conversation, but it hadn't got there yet. And so we prayed, and now I've seen her more and more in the gym and got to briefly kind of say hey to her. But things like that, we have to be obedient to the Spirit. It may be awkward. I mean, you've been awkward. I've been in situations, right? It's awkward, but the Holy Spirit leads you. But church, we have to be obedient to respond to that, no matter where we're at, wherever in China, or El Salvador, in Sioux City, or South Sioux City, Iowa, or Nebraska. We have to respond to the Spirit's timing and his obedience. Think about this for Philip. He had to leave a revival. He had to leave a city that was hopping. People were coming to Jesus. The church was growing. People were being healed. And the city, it says, was, quote, was filled with much joy. So think about God pulling you out of that city and that environment to go out to a desert road heading down to Egypt. Yippee-ki-yay, Jesus. All right, thank you for that. You're like, but Jesus had a plan for that eunuch. If you know some of your world history, where this eunuch is from, is from not necessarily Ethiopia. This was a generic term for the region of Africa south of Egypt. And so if you know your history, and if you don't, it's okay. But from this, the lineage can be traced back to this of a Christian remnant in Eastern Africa there, from this one encounter. And the gospel has spread there. And so Philip had to obey, leave his place of comfort to go to a desert place to reach the lost so that it would spread to all the people of the world. Obeying God is difficult. Am I right? Obeying God is difficult at times. It is. We can be okay about that, right? God calls us to hard places, but he does it out of love and he does it out of compassion for the lost. How much more should our hearts be to be willing to go to the hard places and not stay in our comfort zone. How many of you would you leave Sioux City, Iowa, even though it's great? Man, we love Sioux City, right? But how many of you guys would go to South Sioux City? Woo! Or go to Dakota City or Elk Point or Jefferson? I mean, you know, I don't know. I mean, Sioux Center, whoo, that's a heathen place up there. Who'd go there, right? I mean, who knows? Would you leave a wonderful Sioux City to go where God called you? Would you go to China? Would you go to Africa? Would you go to Ohio, Florida? You name it. Go pick the country. Would you go because the Spirit would direct you? And would you obey God's Spirit? Third point is this. What amazes me about the story is Philip's eager obedience to the voice of the angel and to the Spirit. I want to highlight this. He said, he arise and go. The angel said, and so he arose and went. And the Spirit said, go. And so Philip ran to the chariot. Philip had an eager obedience. And I want to encourage us in personal evangelism. You have to have an eager obedience to listen to God's voice in your life. Evangelism is not this dreadful. How many of you have seen it or been betrayed? Evangelism is this dreadful. I'm going to go be a witness to Donna. Oh, Donna needs Jesus, and it's so hard. I don't want to go. Okay. No, but Philip had an eager obedience. Church, do you have an eager obedience? And the Spirit says to go, man, you run, and you can keep up with a chariot. I mean, that's awesome. Are you there at that place in your spiritual walk with Jesus where he says, go, man, you put on your running shoes, and you're gone. He gone. You're running. You're going to that place where he wants you to go to spread his message. Can you say that? In James 1, verses 21 through 25, it says this. It says, therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, that's Jesus, what he's referring to here, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Church, this speaks to personal evangelism. This speaks to being eager to obey the voice of the Spirit in our life. God tells us to go out into all the world. And church, are we being doers of that? It's easy today to, man, the missionary. Woohoo! Man, she's doing it. But are we doing it here in good old Sioux City, Iowa? Myself included, are we going out? God wants us to be eager, to be doers of his word. Secondly, initiate. Look at verses 29 through 37. Philip initiates a conversation with the eunuch here. Now, how many of you have you felt the Holy Spirit say, talk to someone, and then you're like, well, now what, God? What do I do? Do I just go up and just stand next to him? Do I go up and just open the Bible? Like, what do I do? What do I do? Well, it's a great thing. Scripture tells us what to do here. And it's just really four simple things. Look at it with me here. Look at this. Verse 30. Just ask. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah, and he said, do you understand what you're reading? Church, start with a question. Go up to someone. Hey, what's going on in your life? Hey, I can see you're troubled. You want to tell me about it? You know, you can go up and say, you can even go up and say, hey, do you know Jesus? Go up, ask a question. How many of you, we can all ask questions, right? We ask questions every day to people in our works, in our homes, in our schools. So start with asking. Second of all, look at verse 31 here. Listen. It says, and he said, the eunuch said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now, it doesn't say instantly Philip opened his mouth and preached him a 40-minute message in Greek and Hebrew. It just said Philip got up, sat next to him in a chariot, and he listened. Ask the question and then listen. How many of us, myself included, can do better with listening? Ask someone, do you know Jesus? Hey, what's going on? And just listen. Listen and let the Spirit guide you. So Philip here sat and he listened and he heard what he was reading. Thirdly, respond. Look at verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning with the scriptures, he told him the good news about Jesus. Church, evangelism is about opening these mouths of ours. We have to open our mouth and speak the word of God. Now, there's a famous quote from St. Francis of Assisi that says, you know, preach the word of God and if necessary, use words. And that's good. And that's been quoted. I've heard that my whole life. That's great. That's right. Our lives should testify to Jesus. But too many Christians now, when we are seeing, oh, we want to live over here. Oh, we're going to live a good life. But boy, we don't want to declare God out here in the public realm where it might cost us something or influence or whatever credibility. We don't want to declare it with our mouth. And guys, our verse right here shows us that Philip had to open his mouth. Philip couldn't have just sat there and been like, yeah, that's good. That's good. Yeah, go Jesus. Philip had to open his mouth and declare and walk the eunuch through. What does it mean to have faith in Jesus, of the good news? What happened to Jesus? His death, burial, resurrection. We have to open these mouths, church. And this isn't based upon, like, you've been hearing me. I'm going to say this every time, as long as I preach here. It does not matter if you're an introvert, extrovert, or anywhere on that continuum. You have to open your mouth and then respond with the word of God to people. That's gospel. It's not my word, not the AG word, not the Baptist word. That's the Bible. We have to respond. We have to respond. And then lastly, we have to give opportunity to respond. It's one thing to respond and tell somebody about Jesus, but then do you give that person in front of you an opportunity to respond? Look here at verse 36 to 38. It says, they came to some water, they stopped, and the eunuch said, hey, can I get baptized? And Philip's like, well, why not? This is the place. So Philip got down, and he baptized the eunuch, and he allowed him to respond to the work of the Spirit in his life. Church, we have to give people opportunities to respond, and that means we need to slow down. When you're out in the marketplace, in your neighborhood, you're at the gym, you're at Walmart, and you ask somebody, you listen, you respond, man, slow down. Slow down in our lives. Someone encountering Jesus or you praying with them is more important than getting your checklist, getting you out of Walmart on time, you name it, whatever you find yourself in. Church, we need to slow down and encounter people. Encounter that person that's right in front of you that the Holy Spirit is nudging you to speak to. Don't rush that moment. Please don't rush that moment. Sharing your faith, and it goes hand in hand with allowing people to respond. When we share our faith, we give the chance for people to respond to the gospel. A lot of times we just want to get to the gospel response part, and we want to skip sharing, listening, talking with someone, building a relationship, and telling them about our spiritual journey. We just want to get to the end goal, get the spiritual, you know, badge or, you know, whatever, get the ribbon and be like, yeah, I saved Roxanne today. I witnessed to her. That's good, but church, that's not necessarily always the goal. The goal is that relationship, and the goal is to connect that person to the Spirit and for us to be obedient. We want them to encounter Jesus, but it's not just a check-off badge and then go on to our next thing, get to the next event we have. We need to slow down. If I can encourage you, slow down today. Today, slow down to the one that's in front of you and ask, listen, respond, and give them a chance to respond. I'm praying this over my own life. I'm bad about this myself. You can get in the motions. You want to get through things. But church, we need to slow down and let people to respond. In these final verses here, look at these final verses here as I close. In verses 39 through 40, it says, after they baptized him, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of God carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. And I want to end with this point. Oops, let me go back one. Oops, excuse me. Be ready for the next opportunity. Now, growing up in the church, I heard the story, and then this story, I'll tie it in. When I first watched Star Trek with my parents, and I read this verse, I'm like, dude, Philip was teleported. He's like, beam me up, Scotty. Like, God beamed him up, took him somewhere else. I'm like, and I told my dad, I was probably 8 or 9, I'm like, Dad, I said, Star Trek got this from the Bible. And my dad kind of laughed because he realized I was like, Dad, they copied the Bible. And he just like, well, maybe, son, you know, kind of. But church, are you ready for the next opportunity? A lot of times we'll witness to someone, or like when I talked to that lady at Planet Fitness, we just can't stay there and be like, well, that's it. I did my spiritual duty. I'm good for the next 50 years. Okay, God, I'm good. No, Philip witnessed, listened to the Spirit, responded, and the Spirit was already ahead of him saying, hey, come on, my son, come on. I got some more people that need to know this Jesus. And are you ready for the next opportunity? Or is your mindset, hey, I'm going to witness to that one person, then I'm done. Whew, I'm off the evangelism hook. I can just sit down and take a breather, have a root beer for the next 30 years, and just, whew, I'm good. No, you share that opportunity, and what happens? Boom, the Spirit's saying, come on, we got more to do. There's more work to be done. Are you ready for the next opportunity? Church, once again, it's slowing down, witnessing, and then being ready for God to take you onto that next thing. We can't be lazy. As Christians, we are called to be doers. Doers implies what? Action, right? The Spirit says what? In Galatians 5:25, if we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So as believers in the Son of God, we have to be ready for the next opportunity that God puts in front of us. And today, are you ready for that next person today? I hope yesterday maybe you talked to somebody about Jesus. That's great. But today's a new day, and there's a new soul that needs to connect with Jesus. And are you ready? Are you ready for that? And so as in here, so here's my questions for us. Here's our two takeaway questions is this. Who desires the help of the Holy Spirit in evangelism today? From our scriptures, we saw that the Spirit of God told Philip where to go, and then the Spirit of God told him once again, hey, go up to this specific destination. And the Spirit gave him the words to speak. So you're not alone today. If we call on the help of the Holy Spirit to help us, the Holy Spirit will be there to guide us. So who desires the help of the Holy Spirit in evangelism today? And remember, I didn't say who desires a rubric and a five-point outline you have to memorize. No. John 14 says that the Spirit will remind you of the God thoughts. Everything the Spirit has taught you and you've read, it says the Spirit will remind you in the moment, in the opportunity, that what God wants to speak to that person in need. And then secondly here today, if you don't know Christ, who desires to meet Jesus today for the first time? It's one thing to talk about giving a chance to respond, but do we in our church take time for people to respond, to pray, to encourage one another, but also to encounter Jesus, our Lord and Savior? So let's pray and let's ask the Holy Spirit to empower us today, to come fill us, to be a light, to go out and to be obedient and to be attuned to the voice of the Spirit's leading to who we need to go to today. So let's pray, church. Father, we come before you and we ask for a portion, a double portion, a triple portion of the Spirit today. Holy Spirit, we ask you as sons and daughters of the King to come, fill us again. Direct these our hands, our feet, direct our mouths, our eyes, our finances, our vocation. Holy Spirit, direct where we drive today, who we talk to, what store we go to. Holy Spirit, come fill us with you again today. Father, I pray that we would be obedient to your leading to go to the souls here in Sioux City, North Sioux City, South Sioux City, Lawton, Bronson, Jefferson, Elk Point, that need to know you today. I pray that we'd be willing to eagerly obey the voice of you, Holy Spirit, to go where no man's gone yet with the gospel or woman. Holy Spirit, come fill us today, we ask you. Come fill us with overflowing, with the confidence like Philip, that we will get up and we will run after the lost, that we will not be scared, but we will be faith-filled disciples of the King, that we will go out in the power of the Spirit that indwells in us and baptizes us and fills us with the seal of our salvation and with the deposit that we are His. May you, Holy Spirit, give us the boldness to go out today. To every child in the nursery, every kid in Kids Point today, may you, Holy Spirit, fill them and baptize them. Fill them with overflowing today to be your bold witnesses. God, we pray for anyone today right here that hasn't met your Son, Jesus, that right now that they would encounter Jesus. Jesus, I pray you would come and draw them to you. As you say, only the Spirit draws men unto you. May you, Jesus, show them your goodness, your faithfulness, your holiness, your splendor, your power, your might, your allness of how grand you are. May you, Jesus, step into their situation right now. If they're in this room or if they're here in Kids Point and they don't know you, one of the children, may they encounter you, Jesus, the lover of our souls, the creator of us. And we just pray today, God, may Cross Point go out today. May we go out. And God, may you stir up evangelism, the desire to preach the good news to our neighbors and our coworkers, our bosses, our friends, our family, God, today. May we, God, not be idle and being idle, but may we be a doer of your word, Jesus, today. Thank you, God, that you fill us. May we go out in your power and strength. And Jesus, it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.